Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. More and better broadband. Access to personal protective equipment. Building consumer confidence. Those were the first three recommendations by the Economic Recovery Task Force to County Council back on June 4th. A lot has happened since then. We're now in stage three of the provincial government's efforts to restart the Ontario economy. Local chambers of commerce, downtown business groups, retailers, and manufacturers are coming to grips with the new reality as they try to instill confidence for shoppers, employees, and investors. As businesses have navigated these tricky waters, the task force has worked away, coming up with three additional recommendations and a final report it gave to County Council recently. So it seems appropriate to talk to the co-chairs once more. Here is my online conversation with Dan Borowick, Executive Director of Economic Development for the County, and Brendan Kaneen, a retired business consultant, about their findings. I am pleased to have with me today Dan Borowick, Director of Economic Development at Northumberland County, and Brendan Kaneen, a retired businessman and an advisor for Firepower Capital. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
For those who missed our first conversation, who would like to briefly tell us again what the Economic Recovery Task Force is and what it was charged to do?
By all means, the intent of the Economic Recovery Task Force was to bring together a private sector group representing the various sectors of the economy of Northumberland County, and from them determine what our most logical next steps would be faced with the current COVID pandemic.
Now, on June 5th, the task force released three recommendations: addressing broadband deficits, transition to online, and to fuel consumer confidence. Again, maybe Brendan, could you briefly summarize what those three recommendations were about?
Certainly. So we made those preliminary recommendations to council, as you said, on June the 4th. As a result of listening to the 63 community business leaders that were directly involved, who in turn had reached out to their respective networks. So I suppose if even being conservative by extension, we had listened to a couple of hundred business people in Northumberland County. And at that stage, we said to council, there's three things that are really top of mind at the moment that keep coming up over and over from all six of the working groups. The first one was to tackle the broadband deficit, which in its simplest form said that in various parts of Northumberland County, we don't have access to high-speed internet. So whether we want to work from home, whether we want to have our kids to continue their higher education studies from home, you can see yourself, we have to have that if as a community we're going to be able to risk to rebound and accommodate perhaps some changing work habits, primarily the issue of working from home. The second one we recommended was that we needed to continue to look closely at powering the transition to online presence. We had surveyed the community on four separate occasions during the course of our work. And what they said was, yes, we want to support local businesses, but we would feel safer if we had the option to do so online. And what that quickly led us to was to recommend to council that we needed to be in a position to help businesses to either get online if they weren't online, and perhaps to enhance their online presence and their social media presence if in fact they were already online. The third one that came up very early on in our work was that there was a real need at the time to fuel consumer confidence. And it was felt that we recommended as a task force to County Council that there be a countywide standard of wearing masks in a customer-facing environment. And so we were very, very pleased when the medical officer of health for Halliburton, Pine Ridge, Kawartha on July the 7th made such an order, and we were very happy that to endorse that. So those were the initial three recommendations made on June the 4th.
The last time we spoke, Dan, you talked about an RFP for broadband. Would you bring us up to date on that?
Certainly. It was a bit serendipitous, Rob, over the course of the late spring in particular, we had been making arrangements to try and determine exactly what our connectivity needs were. This was as a result of about this time last year when a digital strategy came forward that County Council approved. And from that, it's a union, I guess, of a couple of departments, both ourselves and IT, have been working towards trying to determine a couple of things. One primarily is what we actually have for capacity in terms of connectivity and the opportunity as it has arisen at this point in time is that as Brendan touched upon, since connectivity is sort of the linchpin for manufacturing advancement, education, be it K-12 or post-secondary, telehealth, a digital presence for our small business community. And so what has happened is the RFP went out in late May, early July, I think July 9th or so. We selected a consultant group who would undertake the work we wanted them to undertake. The first stage of that work is to determine exactly what infrastructure exists in Northumberland. And the second part of that RFP is to frame a broadband strategy so that we can initiate the type of connectivity required. And one of the things I'd like to mention about the nature of the connectivity is that there's an appreciation that each community is somewhat different, and there are existing resources in each community which can form part of what this overall connectivity strategy can be like. It is the intent is very, very much to provide both connectivity to the business community as well as to residents. And so that's well underway, and our intent is, or our hope is, that by early September we will have part one of that completed, which would then allow us to be in a fairly good position to start looking at what type of investment would need to be made for the infrastructure we require.
I know that there's been a number of efforts made locally to get that done in Port Hope and Cobourg and Brighton Cramie and Campbellford. Could you give us a sense of how well that's going along? Maybe Brendan, you could help us with that.
Certainly. So when we came out of the June the 4th recommendations, through the Business Entrepreneurship Center of Northumberland County, we pulled together a group encompassing the various chambers throughout Northumberland County, the Chambers of Commerce, many of the BIAs, the municipalities themselves, the CFDC, and put everybody in a room. And because there are programs in place already in existence, both locally and at the provincial government level, to enable or to support the needs of business to get online. To be candid, it was somewhat of a confusing landscape. So if you were an individual business owner, who do I call? Where do I go first? So by pulling this group together, we hope that we're going to be able to make it easier for the business owner to actually access what they need in their community to accomplish getting online or enhancing their online presence. That group is currently operating, is working, and is reaching out through their respective memberships and so on to the business community at large.
The last item was fueling consumer confidence. With anti-maskers and other protests going on and the disinformation, I'm wondering if it's impacting efforts to rebuild consumer confidence locally.
Well, maybe I'll take a stab at this. I think it's probably an indication of some of the frustration of the last five to six months. It's certainly not an easy fix. I think if we view the general populace, I think there's a strong sentiment that would suggest that consumer confidence comes from consumer safety, and I think the understanding or the feeling that the more supports that the individual retail outlets, commercial space, etc., has some form of that there is this that all the necessary precautions are being met, then that in fact starts to restore part of that consumer confidence. Some of the survey work certainly that we undertook through all of this process indicated that the vast majority of Northumberland residents would be more than prepared to support local business and would strongly support local business if some of their requests could be made through the use of technology, which is part and parcel of why such an effort was made in the digital strategy and trying to help businesses move forward in such a way that they were A, not confused, and B, recognized what the needs were of the consuming public. So it's transformational change. And I think oftentimes during transformational change, you're going to get members of community who are not happy about that and show their thoughts.
Now, you've added three more recommendations to your report given to County Council recently. Could you tell us about those?
Sure, I'll take a crack at that one. So the provincial government has done a good job of creating, let's call it a database, a list of where one goes to acquire a specific piece of PPE. That did not exist. However, there are still gaps in both access and acquisition, as in, is it available? When is it available? How long is it back ordered for? So what we recommended was that a partnership between the business community and various stakeholders be established based on a model that already exists in the municipality of Clarington next door, whereby a lead organization will manage the procurement and distribution of PPE on behalf of the various member partners. What appears to be working well there is that if I'm in that community and I need face shields, if I need masks, if I need wipes, whatever it might be for my operation, then I phone there. And if it's not available, they are the ones that will go ahead and procure it. We have a working group in the process of being assembled for Northumberland to both learn from that best practice, which has been well recommended to us. So that group is in the process of coming together. We would hope that that would enable much better access for the community here.
So when we're talking about this personal protective equipment, we're not talking about the stuff that goes to the hospitals or to the long-term care. We're talking about the kinds of face shields and barriers inside of a business.
Exactly.
Or a factory. Okay.
Exactly.
So investing in the workforce mental health was really a surprising one, at least from my perspective. How did this find its way onto the business agenda? Brendan,
well,
maybe you could answer that, or Dan, whichever.
Maybe we'll both try to do that. One of the other groups that I'm involved with is the Workforce Development Board. I chair a community stakeholder group, and that one's been fairly active since the influx of COVID. And one of the members of that group, his area of expertise and his role is within mental health. And since it's about workforce development and mental health, that issue has become one of the topics around that table. The other aspect that sort of brought mental health to the task force was the type of information that was coming back from the various working groups. In fact, I think during one of the task force meetings, the individual representing manufacturing made a comment that, you know, amongst all of this, he had never anticipated as an owner of a manufacturing enterprise that he would also be the individual who would need to deal with his employees over matters such as home life, childcare, the current feeling of angst as a result of COVID. And you know, as soon as one person makes that type of commentary around a group of that nature, the others tend to open up about it. And I think from our perspective, the issue of mental health as a result of individual well-being is equally as important as physical well-being. Maybe I'll flip it over to you, Brendan.
You know, the anxiety level, the concern that many of the community business leaders who were involved expressed as coming to them from their workforce was directly impacting the businesses, the individual business, in that people, those concerns were causing them not to come to work because they didn't feel safe, they didn't feel up to it. So it was directly impacting both production, productivity, et cetera. What really came out, I think, the strongest from all of the working groups was, individually, some of the business owners, some of the chamber managers, some of the other people who were involved with us were aware that a program exists in Northumberland already to address this or address that. So our recommendation very much coming out of this sort of on behalf of the business community is we need to do, and we were asking the county to take a lead role in this facilitation, is we need to do a much better job of making individual business owners and employees aware of what already exists to support them. They're not on their own. They don't need to feel that they're the only ones feeling this level of anxiety and concern, either for themselves, for their family, for whether their kids go back to school in the fall, all of those issues that we hear discussed around us. It is creating anxiety, and there is support available. And what we've asked as a task force is that the county take a lead role in making us collectively aware of what already exists.
The final recommendation was to develop targeted economic recovery actions aimed at youth, women, and older workers. Could you just briefly explain what you're hoping to achieve through this recommendation?
So we repeatedly heard about the disproportionate impact of those groups, women, youth, and older workers, of the pandemic. More women were ending up at home than was anticipated. Young workers were impacted directly by many of the service businesses closing down. Older workers were being furloughed, were being laid off, and may need retraining to be able to re-enter the workforce when this is all over. The recommendation is very much that we need to develop very targeted economic actions aimed at these groups so that they participate fully in the workforce post-pandemic.
I noticed in looking at this overall, there was nothing in there that talked to displaced workers that were impacted by the pandemic, people who might have lost their job or who are not being hired back. And I just wondered why, since this is an economic task force, not a business task force, where are the job initiatives or the retraining efforts? You have the ear of provincial government right now.
Certainly we do, but I think what's more important to grasp at the front end is what the landscape looks like to try and determine, you know, all those factors which are going to impact economic renewal, because I think economic renewal is not just purely job creation. The reality for trying to get people back to work is also trying to put businesses in a place where they can actually require those individuals or their business can restart. So the training component alone, in my mind, and I think in the mind of the task force, was not a standalone. It was a component of the overall sort of direction of where this task force was headed. If you look at connectivity, really connectivity is infrastructure. You know, if you look at the digital strategy work that's going on, it's to help those small businesses reposition themselves And everything is somewhat linked. I know the recommendations sort of come out as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, but the real reality is this is in my mind, this is a circle. Everything is interdependent in all of this. The capacity of post-secondary, in particular post-secondary institutions that surround us to actually train is certainly there. The question becomes training for what? And unless we can lay in some of the infrastructure that sort of shapes that or renews what we do have, the training is somewhat redundant. So there's a reason for this type of first step structuring.
We're now in stage three of the economic recovery plan, and we were not there when we last spoke. Has your view of the local economy changed since the last time we talked? Brendan, we'll start with you.
Let me start by saying, I remember one of the comments we made in our report to council back in June the 4th was how how resilient it felt that the business community was demonstrating and that they would bounce back. I think that has been further demonstrated. I think as we individually meet with business owners and many of the working groups, there's a real sense of let's get on with it, let's get back to work, let's get the stores open, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the other thing is, I think there's a really measured response that has been clear in that we want to do all of that, but we realize we have to do it safely.
Is the job done, or will the task force reconvene for any reason?
So what collectively the task force has said is that we don't want to be, you know, a group for the sake of having a group, holding meetings for the sake of having meetings. So what we've said to Dan and to the county is, as a task force, individually and collectively, we're more than willing to be available on an ad hoc basis to provide further input on these topics and others that may emerge. But as such, the task force will not exist post the presentation of this final report.
Dan, you had anything you wanted to add to that?
Only that the reaction of the task force it was that if you need us, we're here, which is a nice way to package it up. Certainly, the support is there upon demand.
Gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for talking to me today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Rob.
No problem. Thank you, Rob.
That was my conversation with Dan Borowick, Executive Director of Economic Development for the County, and Brendan Kaneen, a retired business consultant. I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.